brother, when television really gets rolling, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for guys like me to open up a small repair and parts business. That's why I'm buying United States Savings Bonds.
This is Milton Cross inviting you to hear the new Treasury Salute, presented on more than 800 American radio stations and featuring Robert Waldrop, author and commentator, in a transcribed story from the American Notebook, a barbershop ballad. And now, Robert Waldrop and our Treasury Salute story, A Barbershop Ballad.
The place to find out what's going on around my hometown is the barbershop. It always was and probably always will be better than the local newspaper for keeping up with the current events of Napa, California. Al Mickelson's barbershop stood right on Main Street, still stands there, though they have long since taken Al himself over to the cemetery on the hill. Al cut my dad's hair when he was a little boy, just as he used to cut mine. In fact, he cut my hair from the time I was first able to sit on the board that he would place especially across the chair from arm to arm, until not so long ago when Al snipped his last and I had to move over to the next chair and another barber. What a wonderful aroma of shampoo and bay rum and toilet waters there was in that barbershop. How elegant it seemed to have your head doused in that sweet-smelling stuff and then step out onto Main Street where you could tip your hat to everybody so they'd be sure to get a whiff of how grand you smelled. Al was sort of the guardian angel of all the small fry like me, too. Dad used to take me in, tell Al to give me a haircut and put some stuff on my head, and leave me there with explicit instructions to stay there until he came back for me. And there I stayed, listening to all the men gossip, hearing the latest reports on the hunting and fishing prospects, the condition of the crops throughout the valley, and the town politics. And believe me, most of the town's politics were settled and done for right there in Al's barbershop.
Well, F.E., who are you going to vote for in the Board of Supervisors?
Oh, I don't know. Haven't exactly made up my mind yet, Al.
Think Ben Collette's a good man?
Yes, Ben's a good man for it. Smart fellow and honest. Got nothing in the world against Ben Collette. Though I might vote for Gene Weber, too.
Yeah, they say Gene's very strong up around Yonkville. In the upper end of the county?
Yes, that's what I hear. A little more off on the sides, I guess, Al. And who are you going to vote for, or you made up your mind yet?
Well, I'll tell you one, son of a Jack Robinson, I ain't going to vote for in that.
And the political fate of some other candidate for office would thus be doomed and sealed. Yes, if you wanted to be elected to any public position in my hometown, you had to stand in good and solid with the clientele around the barbershop. In fact, often as not, while I'd be sitting there, the candidates themselves would drop in, casually, to do a little unostentatious electioneering. Never talk about the election. No, sir. Anything in the world but that.
Hello there, Gene. How's everything over in Wooden Valley these days?
Fine, Al, fine. Tudor Creek's getting mighty dry, though. Now we need rain bad.
Everybody got the hay in yet? Rain's mighty bad for hay, isn't it?
That's just all about in. Except for a few lazy cusses too busy coming to town every day to tend to their business. Little rain would serve them right.
Been up around St. Helena lately?
Yep, was up there, Tuesday. Yep, Tuesday. Vineyards look fine this year. Especially around the Wheeler place. Say, you seen Dan Kegg lately? Here he was down to the city this week.
Yeah, Dan was in for a haircut the day before he left.
You don't say. How's the shoe business?
Oh, folks are still wearing shoes, I guess.
You got time to give me a shave, Al?
Well, might as well shave one supervisor as another. As soon as I finish this kid's hair and give him some tonic, sit down.
And Gene, of course he was Mr. Weber to me, would smile at me and sit down. And I'd stare right back in awe and wonder. There was another reason the men dropped into Al's barbershop. That was to get the right time. Nobody ever thought of stepping into the jewelry store on the corner and asking for the time. You looked in at the barbershop. There was a great big old clock that hung on the wall. And there was an old fellow, I forget his name if I ever knew it, but clocks were his hobby. He looked after all the clocks around town, in the city hall, the Elks Lodge, and the barbershop. He was very fastidious about them, too, and kept them running right to the second. Many's the time I've seen him come in and say,
She's 3 seconds slow today, Al. You gotta set her right.
And without another word, he'd go on out again, probably heading for the city hall. See, he always checked up on Al's clock first. The city hall could wait. And then there was the day Al had his first electric clippers. Something new then, and I was scared to death of him. For some crazy kid reason, I had visions of my hair being torn out by the roots. But Al just put his hand on my head and tilted it to the desired angle and gently applied the dreaded electric clippers. Holding my breath, I waited for the worst, but almost to my disappointment, nothing happened.
Feel all right, Sonny?
Uh-huh.
Just hold your head still now.
And before I knew it, it was all over. And then I got to the more advanced stage when my dad would give me an extra 10 cents for a shoe shine. Before, I'd had to shine my own shoes on the back porch at home. I hated doing that. My mother always made me put newspapers down because I spilled so much of the black liquid and got it all over my hands and my clothes. But Tony, the old Italian who had the bootblack stand right outside the barbershop door, Tony used paste, and he could snap that cloth back and forth in a style that filled me with admiration. Tony was one of my first heroes. His stand was arranged in such a way that in good weather and in summer it faced the street and was out of doors. In winter and when it rained, he moved it indoors. But I liked it better outside because you could see everybody passing by, and you could be seen having your shoes shined. I'll never forget the day Lucy Wheatley was killed. There was no talk of politics that day.
Hello, Al.
Hello, Tom.
What's the latest on Henry Wheatley's girl? Heard anything?
Well, they've got her up at the hospital, but not much chance to say.
Hear how it happened?
Yeah. Seems she didn't see the train coming. Was right up on the tracks before she saw it. Tried to jump out, but too late.
Happened out there by Fred Jack's place, they say.
Yeah, out in Salvador District. Perfectly clear crossing. No obstructions. Nobody can figure out how she didn't see the train.
Her folks must be feeling mighty bad. Only girl and all that.
Yeah. They say they're pretty badly shaken up over it.
Hello, Al.
Hello,
Tom. All right.
Just came by the Stoddard Milling Company. I hear Lucy died.
Is that a fact?
Not a chance of saving her, I guess. All the doctors in town were called in for consultation.
It was my father there who brought in the sad report. The barbershop was very quiet the rest of that afternoon. Not much conversation, other than passing along the tragic news. In fact, it was several days before the talk got back to politics and how the fish were biting down at Hunter's Landing. Yes, the barbershop was the town meeting place in those days. It wasn't a fancy barbershop. No such thing as a massage or having your hair singed. No manicurist. Just a haircut and a shave, a hot towel, dose of bay rum, and the local news. About the only thing that's been added now is the radio. And that makes the barbershop the place to go to hear the World Series, the election returns, or the latest foreign and domestic news. It wouldn't surprise me if this program is tuned in right now on that little radio set that sits up in the front of the shop there where Al Mickelson's chair used to be. I hope it is, for that barbershop is very special to me. In a way, it was there for I was officially graduated through the various stages of adolescence. It was certainly there that I was officially recognized as having reached my manhood the day Al asked me if I wanted a shave. The same old clock still ticks down from the wall, though it's tended now by some other old fellow than the one I knew as a boy. Time has taken its toll of the barbers like old Al Mickelson, who no longer officiate behind the huge chairs with their black leather and chromium trimmings. But time still ticks on there, and the barbershop in my hometown is still the most important place in town, just as I imagine it is in your town. And that's why I have told you about our barbershop, because I know there's one just like it where you live. There are barbershops like that in every town, every village, every city in this country. And it always seems to me appropriate that out in front of every one of those barbershops is a pole with red, white, and blue stripes on it. And that is why our hometown barbershops belong in this chapter of our American Notebook.
Friends, this is Milton Cross speaking. There's no doubt that all over America, the town barbershop has long been a favorite spot, very much like the country store. And there is another favorite spot in your town, too. It's the bank. Yes, wise folks know that when they want sound advice on financial matters, it's time to head for the bank. There you can sit down with a man who really knows the score and get straight-from-the-shoulder advice on how to solve your most difficult financial problems. And by the way, ask your banker just what he thinks about United States savings bonds. He'll tell you they are the safest, best investment to be found anywhere. He'll tell you they are backed by your government and that they'll return $4 in just 10 years for every $3 you put in now. Your bank is always happy to serve you by making United States savings bonds conveniently available. So remember, when it's financial advice you want, visit your bank, and if it's security you want for your future, keep buying and holding United States savings bonds.
Our next Treasury Salute story from the American Notebook will be Agenda for August. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, so join us, won't you? Until then, this is Robert Waldrop speaking. Thank you for listening.
This transcribed Treasury Salute was written and narrated by Robert Waldrop and directed by William S. Rainey. The music was under the direction of Mark Warnow. This is Milton Cross reminding you that the best way in the world to back your future is to keep buying and holding United States savings bonds.